Well, would you vote for a two-for-one Member of Parliament? It's not uncommon for workforces across the country to split roles between staff that might be going on leave, retiring, or having kids. But could it work for elected Members of Parliament? Melbourne women Lucy Bradlow and Bronwyn Bock have announced a double or nothing plan to run for Federal Parliament as independent job-sharing candidates. But would it be constitutional, and how would it work practically? Professor Kim Rubenstein is a constitutional law expert at the University of Canberra and joins us now. Welcome, Kim.
My pleasure.
Before we get into the legalities of this idea, what are the potential benefits and pitfalls?
Look, I think there are two broad benefits. One is Parliament is meant to be representative of the people. There are a significant number of people who would be terrific contributors, fulfilling the highest form of active citizenship, but who can't work full time. And so this would enable those individuals to think of putting up their hands in a job share arrangement. So it enhances the representation and representative democracy. I think the second advantage is that it really forces us to think about, what do we expect of our representatives? Is it all about the individual, or is it actually about the role? And could the role be better fulfilled by two people job sharing, or could it be an option for people? And I think that that's a healthy way of thinking about power, rather than power being about the individual and some of the toxic aspects of Parliament that we're seeing today. I think shared representation would be a very good start to rethinking the way power is exercised in our Parliament.
What about some of the potential pitfalls? We heard from the Shadow Foreign Minister Simon Birmingham today saying that it just wouldn't work to have a Member of Parliament split into two as two different individuals and then expect they're going to be able to operate in consensus and deliver the type of consistency that's required. And you drew on the example of Jackie Lambie and Tammy Tyrrell going their separate ways.
Look, I think this is a really healthy discussion. First of all, the party system is one already that has individuals committing to discussion and deliberation before coming to a joint decision. So we see in practice every day individuals who are not making their individual separate decisions but are collaborating with others. But of course, that's not always going to necessarily lead to the same outcome. Now, first of all, with a job sharing arrangement, and these two individuals who are nominating have known each other for over 30 years, and they've come together because of their shared values and because of a common commitment to policy and an approach to things. But they understand that not every issue is going to be clear in advance. And they, and like other job sharers throughout the country, are going to have a plan of action for when there may be different points of view as to how they will go about coming to a joint decision. And I think that's a very healthy way of exercising power as well, that they will put to their electorate. Because remember, the electorate has to vote for them. We're not mandating that people have to now all be in job-sharing scenarios. It's about the voters determining whether they want this package as their representative. Mm. And so they will have to convince their voters how they will do these things. And I think they're the really healthy questions that they'll be asked in terms of their accountability in the role. But I think they're the very strong answers. And, of course, people who have never done it before find it difficult to think through how they would do it differently. Mm. But I think there are plenty of job-sharers in this nation who would be able to very easily say, yes, there are ways that we deal with these issues when there may be forms of disagreement.
Okay, what about the legalities? How would something like this be legislated? I mean, is this a change that would need to go to a referendum, say?
So in my view, I think the system as it currently stands actually is supportive of this. So the Commonwealth Electoral Act has a framework for individuals to nominate, but the actual role of member of the parliament is not in any way specified as an individual. And so the form at the moment only has space for one name. Now, my proposal to parliamentarians, and I've been thinking and writing about this for many years now, is that all you would need to do is just provide more space in the nomination form to enable two people's names to go down. I also think there's an argument that if you do not allow people to do that, it offends the Sex Discrimination Act and also some of the fair work laws that exist in relation to our employment laws in this country. Because if we look at the actual numbers of the 51% of the population of women who are voting, that there are 51%, WGEA has given us statistics that 51% of the workforce is women, but of that 51%, 58% of them work in part-time or casual roles. So the reality is more women than men work in part-time scenarios. So there is a form of discrimination to prevent them from actually being members of parliament. So I think in a legislative interpretive frame for the Electoral Act itself, there are strong arguments to say they could actually run right now and put both their names in the form and that would be legally valid. If the Electoral Commission determined that wasn't, then of course that would then go before a court as to the lawfulness of the Electoral Commission's decision.
Okay.
The second aspect is has been identified are the constitutional issues.
Yeah, now, that's interesting. How does the Constitution recognise members of Parliament?
So, indeed, it refers to a member. But again, my view is that Section 7 and 24 of the Constitution place the emphasis on representative democracy, and the emphasis is on each of us having a right to vote for our member. But it doesn't actually restrict that member can only be one person. And in fact, if we look at the way the High Court has interpreted representative democracy in various cases along the way, there is a very strong argument in my view that this is actually supported by the Constitution as it currently exists. And remember, there are lots of things that happen in our parliamentary system that are not mentioned in the Constitution. There's no reference to the Prime Minister. There is no reference to freedom of speech, but the High Court interpreted Section 7 and 24 of the Constitution as providing an implied freedom of political communication. It's those principles that affirm representative democracy that I believe actually support job sharing as a constitutional application of our system of representative democracy. Well, now, there are other minds that may disagree with that, but then ultimately that would then be a decision for the High Court to determine.
Okay. What about when we're talking about accountability, when the job is split between two people? One person is found to have engaged in corrupt conduct, for example, would both people then be pulled from the role, and should they be?
Yes, I think it is a package. So I think it is that if one of the pair, you're electing the two of them, so if either of them become incapable, or under Section 44 of the Constitution, you have in order to nominate, both of them would have to make sure that they're not citizens of another country, that they don't hold an office of profit under the Crown. And Section 45 provides if that happens during the course of your term in Parliament that you have to resign, they would both have to resign because they've been elected on the basis that they are a package. Now, that's separate to being criminally or personally responsible. So if one of them does something that has criminal consequences, that would be an individual liability. But I think the actual holding of the office would have to be forfeited. And like in any scenario where a member of parliament can no longer continue, whether it's because of Section 45 or a death, then you hold a by-election. It's not that dissimilar.
Mm. Constitutional law expert Kim Rubenstein is talking about the possibility of job-shed parliamentary roles here on RN Drive. Kim, are there any examples of other countries that have successfully made this change?
So we are not the first to have two individuals running. So in the 2015, I think, UK federal election, two women nominated and they had their reasoning was one was a single mum with young kids and the other had a sleeping disorder, so she wasn't able to work full time, but together they thought that they would be a great representative for their electorate. The English framework, there is no written constitution, so there weren't expressed constitutional issues, but their Electoral Act is slightly different to the Australian Electoral Act. And under the Electoral Act, when their equivalent of the Electoral Commission denied their right to nominate, they took that to their court system. And interestingly, the judge was at pains to say what a terrific idea this is. Parliament should seriously consider it. But as the Electoral Act stood at that time in the UK, they didn't believe that current Electoral Act allowed it. And there's been a lot of work in the UK to address this. Similarly, and actually earlier in 1999 in Scotland, the first Scottish Parliament elections, there was a job share, a man and a woman. And they were not, so they actually ran, but they didn't get the sufficient votes to be elected. But the returning commissioner had announced that if they had been elected, that returning commissioner was only going to identify one of them as the representative, and they said that if that had happened, they would have challenged it in the courts. So we don't have examples at present, but wouldn't it be fantastic for Australia to lead the world yet again? We were the first to enable women to stand for parliament at the same time as a vote, and I think it would be fantastic for the health of our democracy and, in fact, internationally, in terms of rethinking the way power is exercised, for Australia to lead the way.
So while we don't have any formal agreements here yet, can you think of any quasi arrangements here that have sort of replicated this?
Absolutely. So, for instance, when Christian Porter stood down as Attorney General while there were allegations against him, we saw two ministers taking on those roles, Amanda Stoker and Michaela Cash. And I wrote an opinion piece at the time really saying, whilst these are very dramatic contexts for this to happen, it's a reminder that there is a capacity for job sharing in our leadership roles. And the reality is our leadership is undertaken by more than one person at any one time. And, you know, we often don't actually acknowledge when that is happening. This is a more transparent way of, you know, the benefits of two people's minds and capacities and the capacity for a broader range of people to be in those roles.
And finally, Kim, you touched on this before, but if you could just expand briefly, what would be the next steps if the Australian Electoral Commission knocks this back?
So the next step would be, and my public law students would know this, that is a decision of an officer of the Commonwealth, and so that would be a reviewable decision in the courts, whether through the Judiciary Act or the Administrative Decisions Judicial Review Act, as to the lawfulness of that rejection of their application. So the legal questions would then be directly addressed by virtue of challenging a rejection of their nomination.
Constitutional law expert at the University of Canberra, Professor Kim Rubenstein, thank you.
Thank you very much.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.